brought to you by Penguin.
The Outlaw Ocean. Journeys Across the Last Untamed Frontier. By Ian Urbina. Read for you by Jason Culp, with an introduction read by the author.
To Aiden. For all its mayhem and exhaustion, there's been no greater adventure and no prouder project than being a part of your pit crew. Introduction. About 100 miles off the coast of Thailand, 36 Cambodian boys and men worked barefoot all day and into the night on the deck of a Persaner fishing ship. 15-foot swells climbed the sides of the ship, clipping the crew below the knees. Ocean spray and fish innards made the floor skating rink slippery. Seesawing erratically from the rough seas and gale winds, the deck was an obstacle course of jagged tackle, spinning winches, and tall stacks of 500-pound nets. Rain or shine, shifts ran 18 to 20 hours. At night, the crew cast their nets when the small silver fish they target, mostly jack mackerel and herring, were more reflective and easier to spot in darker waters. During the day, when the sun was high, temperatures topped 100 degrees Fahrenheit, but they worked nonstop. Drinking water was tightly rationed. Most countertops were crawling with roaches. The toilet was a removable wooden floorboard on deck. At night, vermin cleaned the boys' unwashed plates. The ship's mangy dog barely lifted her head when the rats, which roamed on board like carefree city squirrels, ate from her bowl. If they were not fishing, the crew sorted their catch and fixed their nets, which were prone to ripping. One boy, his shirt smudged with fish guts, proudly showed off his 2 missing fingers, severed by a net that had coiled around a spinning crank. Their hands, which virtually never dried, had open wounds, slit from fish scales and torn from the net's friction. The boys stitched closed the deeper cuts themselves. Infections were constant. Captains never lacked for amphetamines to help the crews work longer, but they rarely stocked antibiotics for infected wounds. On boats like these, deckhands were often beaten for small transgressions, like fixing a torn net too slowly or mistakenly placing a mackerel into a bucket for sablefish or herring. Disobedience on these ships was less a misdemeanor than a capital offense. In 2009, the UN conducted a survey of about 50 Cambodian men and boys sold to Thai fishing boats. Of those interviewed by UN personnel, 29 said they witnessed their captain or other officers kill a worker. The boys and men who typically worked on these ships were invisible to the authorities because most were undocumented immigrants. Dispatched into the unknown, they were beyond where society could help them, usually on so-called ghost ships, unregistered vessels that the Thai government had no ability to track. They usually did not speak the language of their Thai captains, did not know how to swim, and being from inland villages, had never seen the sea before this encounter with it. Virtually all of the crew had a debt to clear, part of their indentured servitude, a travel-now, pay-later labor system that requires working to pay off money they often had to borrow to sneak illegally into a new country. One of the Cambodian boys approached me, and deeper into our conversation, he tried to explain, in broken English, how elusive this debt became once they left land. Pointing to his own shadow and moving around as if he were trying to grab it, he said, "Can't catch." This was a brutal place, one that I spent 5 weeks in the winter of 2014 trying to visit. Fishing boats on the South China Sea, especially in the Thai fleet, had for years been notorious for using so-called sea slaves, mostly migrants forced offshore by debt or duress. The worst among these ships were the long haulers, many of which fished hundreds of miles from shore, staying at sea sometimes for over a year, as mother ships.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?